We're up to Perek Lamites. We're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. I made a mistake last week. I should not have stopped the Pasuk Yud Ches because Yud Ches is really in the middle, is the last of the series. You see, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, this set of Pesukim begins with Pasuk Yud Gimel. Again, Perek Lamites, Pasuk, we're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. But the Pesukim, we'll just read the Pesukim, they have the description of the birds, the Kanaf Ronim Ne'alosa Im Evra Chasidah V'Noitza. The wings of the Renanim, name of a bird, takes joy. Together with the wings of the Chasid and the Noitza, together these birds they have a good time. They know how to have a good experience. Now, and even though they are very proud, the Pesukim now describe, yet they are cruel to their children. What is the cruelty that these birds show? That these three birds, the Renonim, the Chasida, and the Noitza, when they lay eggs, they abandon to the earth their eggs, and they allow the eggs to warm themselves on the dust of the earth. Instead of a mother sheltering the eggs and covering it with straw and protecting it and giving it warmth, these eggs have to fend for themselves. They're helpless. They lie on the earth of the ground, and hopefully the offer of the earth of the earth will tichamein, will give it warmth. Vatishkach ki regel tizurena, the mother forgets that the feet of the wild animals or of man will step on it, will scatter these eggs. Vachayas hasodet tidushena, and the mother forgets that the wild animals of the field will crush the eggs. Hikshiach bonecha loloila, the mother is hard, shows a cold heart towards her children, as if the eggs were not hers. Lirik yigia belief fochad, and it's as if all of her hard labor of conception and laying the eggs is all for nothing, and she has no fear what will become of her children. Why is all this so? Because kihisha eloka chokma, Kadosh Baruch Hu has removed from the birds the chokma, veloi cholak lo babino, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not allot these creatures with understanding to recognize that. They should realize that how foolish they are. They've worked so hard, they've toiled to produce eggs, and now the eggs are going to be abandoned to the wild animals. Now here's where we're up to. Pasuk Yud Ches, Ko'es. At this moment, after all of their hard labor has been expended, at this moment, Bamarom Tamri, they fly. Or they, see the word Tamri is a hard word, we'll see this in Rashi, it literally means to rebel. They rebel against their children by flying to the heights, to ascending, disappearing. We normally use the word rebellion with regard to children. Children rebel against their parents. But here in this pasuk it says the parents are rebelling against the children. The word Tamri is found in Ben Sorer Umore. A child who is a wayward and rebellious child. So the word mora means to rebel. Here it means as well, bamarom, to the heights, to the sky, tamri, the mother rebels against her children. She turns away. She ignores her eggs. Tischak, and she mocks lasus ulerochbo, when she figures out, when she's in the sky and she sees that horses and their rider are riding or galloping towards the direction where she laid her eggs, and it's imminent that the horse and the rider will step and crush the eggs, destroy the product of her labor. She laughs. I couldn't care less that I have laid these eggs, and these eggs are lying here on the field, and they're in the way of the horse and the rider. She just has a good laugh. Okay, I translate the word tamri to mean to rebel. Tamri also can mean to go high. But it's a combination of two words which mean the same thing. Bamaro means the heights, and tamri also can mean the heights. So the two words together would mean that the mother just flies up into the sky. She forgets about her children, about her eggs. Even when she sees the horse and the rider is about to cross, she just could not care less. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Ches Nevitzudos David. Yud Ches Ko'es Kasher Tovoi Ha'es Asher Tachbo Itzlof Hashemayim. When it comes time for the mother, when she has a desire to fly, to escape this existence on this world, Hine, behold, Tamroid Bohem, the mother rebels against her own children. By Vesa'uf Ledarka, she flies on her way, Vatischok Lesus Lerochbo, and she mocks at the horse and the rider that is coming in the direction of the eggs. Ratzulaymar, The mother does not care if the horse and the rider will step on the eggs. The yadush oisam and crush them. This means to say is umihu hashem oisam. So according to the mitzudos, this is his own interpretation. I don't think anyone else says this, at least that I've seen. Hashem is speaking, he's hinting to Eve, umihu hashem oisam. Who then will guard these poor eggs? If the mother has abandoned them, who's going to take care of them? The answer is, I, Hashem, will make sure that when the horse steps in this area, there will be hashkacha pratis, the feet will miss the eggs. Then the missiles are not going, every missile has an address. The steps of the horse will not come in contact with the eggs. Umihu Hashem Isam Haloyani. It is I Hashem. The Eich Tamar, and if that's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so involved in the affairs of this world to make sure that a horse will not step on an egg that's lying out in the field, Al Achas Kama Vakama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in taking care of a person and giving him reward and punishment for his deeds. The Eich Tamar, how then dear you see of Shainini, I do not pay attention to the lowly creatures on this world. I take care of the eggs that have been abandoned by the mother. Certainly I'll take care of you. Now Rashi elaborates very much on the word tamri. It's an unusual word. Every time we find this word, it refers to a situation where a person turns his heart. What's the word about the word zone means to turn away. A woman who is a harlot, to turn after other gods. A woman who is a harlot is called a zona because she turns astray. She turns away from her husband, from the derech ha'olam, to do things which are not proper. So here, that's what Rashi says. The word tamri comes from the word zoneh. Kol loshon hamroha ki adam shezoneh, who turns away, libo, his heart. Lot says, he has three words. Lot says, mimidaso, umigidulo, umeartso. Three different interesting expressions. From his midos, his conduct, I would say midos, a person's behavior. Right, it literally means his measure, his measurements, but it means his anhagos ben adam lachaver ben adam lamakom umigidulo, from his upbringing, the way he was trained to do umay artso, from his home, his community lishotate lo beartzos, in order to explore other lands, other cultures. A person rebels against society, will anasa slow midoy sacheros, and to experiment with other, a different lifestyle. Dechein ben sorer umore. That's how the word more is used in the parasha of Kiseitse. It means a child who is sorer, he turns astray, umore, he is rebellious. Two words which means very simple.
Yeah, but like now, yeah, but tamru was be Hashem. I mean, it's
to rebel.
The difference without the olive at the end, it seems like.
But the same idea. But
like it's an Aramaic word.
Uh-huh, because of the olive instead of the hay. But it's the same idea. V'loshon Gemara, we also have this word in Aramaic, Imroi Kalose de Rav Zvid. It means she rebelled. The daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid, she decided she had enough. And she left. She left the fold. She abandoned her husband, which means there, Imroi, she rebelled the Nafka, and she left. Okay, then he quotes another book. Okay, then he goes over here to tell you where to look. In Rashi, in Chulin. Okay, so there means over there to rebel. Okay, so this is what the pasuk here says. This is the conclusion of this series of psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is impressing upon Eiv that Hashem built into the world a reality that there are some birds that abandon their children for different reasons. Whatever the reasons are, they have a hard, cold heart, and their children have to fend for themselves. And Hashem says, do not worry, I will take care. Hashem protects the eggs. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the eggs with unusual hashkacha, certainly the lesson is Hashem will take care of a person as well. There is hashkacha pratis. Now we begin in Pasuk Yitess, a new series of psukim. Now these psukim are described in very great detail the midos of a war horse. Okay, cavalry. We have ancient times, we have horses which are trained for war. Chazal say, a horse thrives on war. unlike man who is terrified at the sight of blood and weapons and engagement with the enemy. Okay, derech ha'olam is, okay, if you ever watch a Western, it's not very, they don't have any more, I don't know, I'm not really in the scene anymore, but try to put yourself in a Western, right? I don't think anyone over here would be very comfortable going on a horse and going into battle on a war horse, but the riders are afraid, but the horses who are engaged in this activity have a great pleasure in this activity. And that is what it's going to describe in very great detail. And Hashem is telling Eov, who is the one that put the machshava into the minds of these horses to enjoy, to relish this activity, which is suicidal? Most of the horses that engage in this battle do not come out alive. So why would a horse want to commit suicide? So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this machshava into their minds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in hashkacha. That's on a very simple level. That is what Hashem is saying here, saying to Eve. Obviously, there's a lot more, but it's very interesting because there's so many psukim describing in such great detail the nature of a horse. Here we go. Pasuk Yutes. Hasitein lasus gevura Eiv. Let's talk about horses. It was it you, Eiv, who put into the horse, into its DNA, the mida of gevura, of might, hasalvish savoro rama? Was it you who dressed its neck with fierceness? Ram is lightning, right? Thunder. So a horse it neighs with a thunderous sound as it enters the battlefield. It lifts up its neck in the neck of the vocal cords and the flow of air which produces the sound. Who is it that put into the horse this koach to give forth a neigh that is thunderous? That is thunderous. It is only I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are not privy to the details that went into the creation of the horse, let's take.
The thunder of the hoof.
That's their movement. Okay, here we're referring specifically to the sound that's coming through their neck, through their nostrils. Let's look at Pasuk Yitzchak in the Mitzudos. Hasitein ho'im ata nosata l'sus kevura liyois le'oimet salev mikol yetzer bal chai. Was it you who put into the horse the might that it should be more mighty than any other? Notice it says here, all of the creatures, the lion is the most mighty. The lion is the king of the wild animals. But the horse has the most gevuras halev, the most oimetz halev when it goes out to battle. Hasalbish imato hilbashta tzavaroi bekol meuyim kireim. Is it you, Eve, that dressed the neck of the horse with a terrifying sound like kiraam, like thunder? Was it you who did this? Certainly not. So why do this is only something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has koyach to do? Let's take a look over here. Rashi. The Rashi says Rama. It is an unusual word. The word Rama, Rashi says, comes from the word of Ram, which means thunder, and it's being used here in that context. Lashon Ram uva'asa, terror. Kimo Ramo Panim, he had a terrifying face. This is a pasuk somewhere, I don't know where. A terrifying face. Okay, pasuk kaf. Pasuk, next pasuk, continuing in the description of the horse. Hasar I senu koarbe, to jump. Rash. Now rash means a tumult, a confusion, a rash, but he's saying ruach v'eshma acharai koil rahash gadol, a great loud noise. Here it's not being used so much as the word noise, it's being used more in the expression of commotion. And specifically it means here to jump. The horse, when it takes off, when the horseman gives a whip to enter the battlefield, it jumps like a locust. Locusts jump from one location to the other. That is what the horse does when it enters the battlefield.
Born with an innate sense of competition that's inborn in them. That's what they try to run as fast. In other words, what a jockey has to do is control the horse from running fast. Horses don't like to see another horse running past them. As soon as they see a horse run, they try to outpass the other one. They race each other constantly.
Yeah.
So when you're riding a horse, they're holding it back to save the strength belated down the stretch.
The Meadowlands were not created for nothing.
Instinct is not to be
outdistanced,
not to be
outrun. Anu Ratzen,
the Hebratzen. Which comes back to the ostrich. All the English translations, I mean, I like this one better than you said, but they just talk about the ostrich laughs because he could run faster than the horses, which they can.
Ostrich, two legs to the horse.
On a short distance, not over a long distance. But on like a quarter mile, an ostrich is going to beat a horse every
time.
Two legs beat four on an ostrich. They move, their legs move so fast.
Wow.
The ostrich can't fly.
Okay, so here it says about the horse, Hasar Ishenu Koarbed. Were you the one, Eve, who put into the horse the power to jump like a locust? Hod Nacharo Ema, the splendor of its snort. The Nacharo means the nostrils, the sound that comes from the nostrils. It is a majestic and Ema and a fearful, a sound which evokes fear among the other, among men, among the other horses. Let's look at Pasuk in the Mitzudos. Hasar Ishenu Hoato. Sarishu bekvitza, were you the one that caused it to sarishu to jump bekvitza? Okay, tarish means a sound, to thunder with a jump. V'diluk, to jump ko arbe like a locust, hazeh hadoileg mimokam mimokam like a locust which jumps from place to place. The hod kolo, the splendor of its voice, hayoytzei minichirav, which comes forth from its nostrils, who kol ema, is a terrifying sound. Who is the one that created the horse with these characteristics? It is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, pasikhov karbeh, midaleg. What are we coming over here to compare the horse to a locust? A locust is a teeny little creature. A horse is massive. So what's the comparison? The comparison is midaleg mekapetz karbeh umarish sivivav. A horse jumps in a similar way to a locust, and by doing so, it terrorizes, it causes fear among the people that are in its vicinity. Nicharo, its nostrils, kishahu noifeach, binichirov, kobekol emohu. When it gives forth a sound, it blows, snorts through its nostrils, it gives forth a sound that is terrifying. Pasik chof aleph, yachbru v'emek v'yosis. What does the horse do? Before it begins, we've all seen the images, it takes its front leg and it warms up. I'm sure there's some English word for this. It pushes its front legs into the ground. It kicks. It digs in as it's warming up to sprint forth. It digs in its heels before, in preparation for its sprinting forth. Yachbaru, it digs vo'imik into the valley, v'yosis v'koyach, it takes great delight in its power. Yetzei likras no shek, it goes forth towards weapons. When it sees in front of it, when it sees the battlefield, it sees the glitter, we're going to see the next psukim, the glitter of the swords, of the blades, and the bows and arrows, and the swords and the spears. When the horse sees these things, it goes forth with joy. This is its tafkid, to engage in battle. L'pasuk chafav the mitzudos, yachbu l'roiv mirutzaso, due to its galloping, its abundant galloping, yargulubo haparoshim bo'emek, they, so yachbu, I didn't really say it correct, I told yachbu to dig, I told you another interpretation. According to the mitzudos, yachbu means it spies. Okay, lashon Yachbu Esar is to spy out the land. So Leroyv Mirutzasa, due to the fact that it likes to gallop, it likes to travel, Yargulubo Haparoshim Be'emek, the horsemen use the horse to spy the valleys. They go, they survey, reconnaissance, they check out what's doing all over the different territories, Shumokam Muchan Lamari, which is the place which is Muchan, which is ideal for laying an ambush, due to its enormous strength when it goes out to battle, to engage, to come in contact with weapons, a horse has confidence in its power, has confidence that it will succeed when it courage when it goes out in front of weapons, due to its enormous strength. And this is an expression. Right. Instead of fleeing the action. Instead of fleeing the action. Okay, Pasik, Pasik Rashi, Pasik Chafalf Rashi, Yachbu Be'emek, Kimov, Yachbu Lon, West Arvitz, the spy. Shader Chapadoshim, Orvim, Ba'amokim, it is the way of horsemen to spy out the valleys, Unacholim, the valleys, the Emek and Nachal, two different types of valleys, it is their custom to spy. V'yosis, Be'koyach, V'asus, Samech, V'yotzilikras, Neshek, the horse takes delight in this activity and it goes out towards the battle, towards the weapons. Pasik Chafbeis, Yischak lefachad v'lo yechas. It takes delight in pachad when it is when others would view this situation as a situation of pachad. It takes delight v'lo yechas. It does not tremble v'lo yoshev mipnei choriv. It does not withdraw when it comes in contact with the sword. Human being would be terrified from such an environment, but not the sword. Who is the one that put a machshav in the horse not to be afraid and to engage the other horse in battle? It's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chav Beis Mitzudos Yischak Yilag. It mocks al kol davar hamafchido. Anything which attempts to terrify it. He laughs at. V'lo yirad, it does not tremble mishum davar from anything. V'lo yoshev la'achora b'mne'ema sachev, does not withdraw due to the fear of the sword. Kerashi pasik chaf gimel. V'lo pasik chaf beis, just one Rashi. V'lo yechas, v'lo yiro yechas means not to be afraid. Okay, not to tremble, not to be dismayed. We have that word many times in Chumash. Pasik la'chaf gimel. Olav tirne ashba. Upon itself, okay, this refers to the horse itself. There is a horseman that's riding on the horse. Ashba means the quiver which holds the arrows. As the horse gallops into battle, the horseman, his weapons are rattling. What's rattling? The arrows that are contained in the quiver that's either on the person of the horseman, or some maybe sometimes they actually attach it to the horse. It's on the saddle. So when the horse, it hears the arrows rattling as it's galloping into battle, it goes crazy. It has extreme joy. It sings. A love upon itself, tirne, it sings. Tirne, if you look in the Mitzudos,
That's why
horses run into the fire. Okay, tirana means, I think it means when it's lifted up. Or means when it shakes. When it shakes. Okay, let's just do the whole word. All of tirna ashba. Lahav normally means the blade. Chanis is the sword. And the chidon is the spear. Okay, so you have over here four.
The spear
and the kidon is the
javelin.
Four different types of weapons. The arrows which are contained in the ashba, the lav, the blade of the sword, the chanis, the spear, and the chidon, the javelin. I don't know the exact difference between these different types of weapons, but there's very
longer.
They're just more dangerous, right? One
or two. The Shin Bet has an assassination squad. You know,
yeah.
Kidon.
That's what they're called. They're called the Kidon, the assassination squad. Okay, wherever you go on an airplane, you ever go in the back of the plane? Back of the plane, there were two Israelis sitting in the last seat near the bathroom, and they always have they have duffel bags at their feet. You know what's in those duffel bags? Enough explosives to blow up the plane 10 times over. Yeah, check it out. They're not going to let you check it out. They're not going to let you check it out. But you'll see they're sitting on top of duffel bags. They're sitting on top of duffel bags too, and they're always very usual. When I haven't gone there often, but they're not in a good mood. They're not in a very good mood, and especially when the religious people congregate in their territory in the back to make a minyan, they're not very happy. Okay. All of tirne ashba lahav chanis v'chidon. Let's see if we can see the pasuk of Gimel. All of tirne kasher tirane ho ashba asher olaf. So tirane means when it's lifted up. I think when in this context it means when it rattles, when it's jumping up and down, and as the horse is galloping ho ashba asher olaf rotzolam kasher yimayr larutz. When the horse is running swiftly, v'achitzim asher ba'ashba mekashkishim, and the arrows that are contained in the quiver are rattling mekashkishim. So we mashmim mashmim. Mashmim Kumol Kol Rina, and are giving forth a sound, a joyous sound, and making noise. So he's translating the word Tirne Lashon Rina, to sing, and in this context it means the weapons are singing. Weapons don't sing, they don't have vocal cords. It means they rattle in their case. When the horse hears this sound, and when Yashit means when it moves also, another word which pretty much means the same thing, when it's moving upon it, the lahav, the blade, chanis, the spear, the lahav, kidon, and the blade of the chidon. So the Mitzvah is translating the word lahav twice. The lahav, the blade of the chanis, and the lahav of the chidon, and he's taking the word tirne and he's applying it to the chanis and the chidon as well. And this, all of this is happening, all of this is part of the previous pasuk. This is part of the previous pasuk, a pasuk chav beis. We have to really read this back, these two pasukim together. Yishak, the horse takes great joy in this experience. Something which would normally bring fear to another, to a person or to another animal, the horse's midah is to actually enjoy the experience. What is he joy? He doesn't return, he's not afraid of the sword, and the sound of the ashba, and the sound of the lav of the chanis, and the sound of the lav and the chidon is yishak, is what gives this horse very great joy as it goes out to battle. Rashi, pasuk chaf gimel, there is no Rashi. Pasuk, there is Rashi. Tirna al bashba, melechitzim umikashkashash, the ashba is filled with arrows, they rattle one against the other and they cause sound. The lav, the blade of the chanis. So he's translating the word lav to mean the utensil. Klei shel barzel, kari lav. Any type of weapon is called lav. Kamo vayovigam gam ha nitzav achar halav. The nitzav, I think it means that the leader was stabbed. The nitzav also went into the sword. He was killed by the weapon. It's something along those lines. But the idea over here is that the horse takes great joy. Pasuk Chavdal, Berash, Veregis, Yigam, Aretz. Okay, next example of what the horse does. The horse, through rash, through thunder, Veroges, and anger, what appears to be an expression of anger, Yigame Aretz. This is a very interesting expression. It swallows up the earth. What does it mean to swallow up the earth? It runs very quickly. When you overtake something, the expression that we use is you swallow it up. If I'm able to travel from location A to location B in 10 seconds, I've covered ground. Now, velo yamin ki kol shofar, and it cannot be still. It's not still ki kol shofar due to the sound of the horns of the shofar blowing. When you go out to war, it was common to blow trumpets, to blow sirens, and this caused excitement. Okay, let's take a look at the Pasuk Mesudas for a precise translation. Pasuk Chavdal Berash Oz, then Berash, in the great sound of Ereges Ad Mehema Yarutz Merchok, it quickly travels a great distance, Kiilu Shosek, as if it has swallowed, it drunk, Ubola Es Aretz, Ve'enena, and the earth no longer exists. The reason why we use the word Bola, this distance is not an issue. One of the great things of you have a distance. If it's your enemy is at a very, very far away, it's just the distance is what serves as a impediment to attack. That's not so for the horse. Distance is not an issue because it can travel in great distances in a very short period of time. Because it's a man that's light can very quickly travel a great distance. Now, velo yana. What is in here? Velo yamin. Ratzaloyma. Lo yachosh lekol shofar. It is not affected by the sound of the shofar. Asher yariu b'mulchama. Velo yechrad mimenu. It does not hold it back. And this is a very interesting idea. The word emuna. What does it mean? Emuna. We have. That's one of the, that is the tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Means faith. So what is the exact shorish of the word faith? Tzadik be'emunah so yichyeh, ani imam be'emunah shleimu, all of the animams. So simply it means an omen. Vayihi omen es hadasa. Omen means to nurture. a mother, just a child in the care of a mother, feels content, is safe, secure, and sound. So when we say that we have emunah, it means we are imagining ourselves as if we are an infant in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like an infant is secure in the hands of the mother, has no daigis, doesn't have to worry about all of the different threats that it's under, it's secure. That's the way we feel with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are a child in HaKadosh Baruch Hu sense. That is the simple interpretation. However, others learn, and it fits much better here with the parish of this pasuk, emunah means to be still, or it means to maintain, to like what it says here in this pasuk.
Faithful, reliable.
Wait, we translate to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is faith? Translate, be more precise in the meaning of faith. How do you translate the word of Loyamin ki kol shofar? It doesn't have faith, even though the sound of the...
reliable to continue in the face of the shofar.
So what is the shofar? The shofar is a tool which is trying to frighten the horse. It's trying to terrorize the horse. It's trying to cause the horse to stop what it's doing. Right, and the pasuk says, "V'lo yamin." The horse is not deterred. It's not intimidated by the sound of the shofar. It's not still. The word emuna means to be calm, to maintain the constant, right? To maintain a constant. You start out to stay the course. You start out with. You have an upbringing to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow His mitzvos, and then guess what? Things are not going according to plan. It says in the Torah, if you observe Hashem's mitzvos, Hashem will reward you. Everything will be fine and good. And guess what? Things are not fine and good. I have problems. So what is the person naturally inclined to do? I'm not going to stay the course. I'm not going to remain constant. I'm going to deviate. Hashem, you're not good to me. I won't be good to you. I'm going to change the course. I will no longer be constant in my derech of life. Hashem says, no, have faith. Even though things are not going your way, I still want you to maintain be consistent in your behavior towards me. Consistency. Okay, consistency. Here, that's exactly how the word fits into this pasuk. The lo yamin, the horse is not willing to be still. Here, it really means just to calm down. It continues to go and fight, to be agitated, even though he calls shofar. The sound of the shofar is blowing and trying to terrorize it and trying to turn it around. It's really used a little bit the opposite of what I want to try to bring out, but it all depends on the context. The word that's seemingly how he's translated the word of yamin over here in the mitzudos. Yamin over here means lo yamin, rotzlema, lo yochush. It's not concerned. Lekol shofar, asher yoribu muhammad, v'lo yechar menu. It continues to maintain. It continues to go out into the battlefield. Let's see over here Rashi pasuk yigama aretz berash uveroges yigama aretz in a thunder in sound and with anger does it swallow the earth? Oise gumos biragla. Rashi in this first interpretation translates the pasuk differently than what we saw in the mitzudos. The word yigama means a guma. Through its galloping, or maybe this means before it's about to attack, it digs its claws into the earth. It makes gumos in the earth with rash, with sound, and with anger. Yigame oretz. It digs its claws, its feet into the ground to make pits. That's Rashi's first interpretation. Inyan acher. Second interpretation. Yigame kmo hagmi inina. Let me sip. Let me drink, let me swallow. And then Rashi would be saying what the Mitzudos said is that with Rash and Roges, it swallows up the earth, it travels a long distance, and it's as if it covers, it eats up the earth. V'lo yamin, meroiv simcha, due to its enormous joy, shu misavel l'mulchama, that it desires battle, ki kol shofar, it does not hold itself back. That's what it seems to say. V'lo yamnitz will not hold itself back from its enormous joy for battle, even though kikol shofar, or Rashi doesn't mean spite of. Rashi seems to say kikol shofar shal muhama, because it hears the kol shofar. Sometimes they're blowing the shofar in order to frighten the enemy, and sometimes they're blowing the shofar in order to encourage the army to go forth. That's the always see in the army. You ever see the bagpipes? They're there to
rouse
and the marches. Right, when you go out, I'm sure you'll see some films where they show the Marines going out to battle, and they sing songs. The purpose of singing the songs together is to build up, to psych you up, to build up a certain stamina to go out into battle. So that's what the Kol Shofar, according to Rashi, appears to be the purpose of the Kol Shofar, is that it was sounded by the warriors who are riding the horsemen, who are riding the horses. They blow the shofar in order to encourage themselves and to encourage the horse to go forth to battle with simcha and to fight.
Making the point of saying that the horses are chomping at the bit to get going, and when they hear the sound, they get excited.
They're more excited.
They're going to go.
We hear the Kol Shofar. Okay. Yeah.
The same idea is in a fox hunt.
In a what?
They always blow the horn.
They blow the whole where?
The foxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. One more pasuk for the horses. Then we go to the eagles. One more horse pasuk. B'day shofar yoymar he'och. Okay, one more pasuk. B'day means with an abundance of. B'day comes from the word dai. Dai means sufficient. And the base here, the prefix, means with a sufficient amount. Or with an abundance of shofar, which I guess here is the short form of shofaris. Yoimar, the warriors who are riding the horse, they recite, they say he'och. The word he'och is what we would say today, hooray. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray is a very bad term. It's what the crusaders say when they kill the Jews. There's some type of expression. Yeah, hip hip hooray. Yeah, it's a very... What? Hip hip hooray. What does it mean? It means that it's like Greek. It's a Greek expression. Hip hip hooray. It's a very terrible thing.
Why? I bet you the old Israel would say it. It's abracadabra. It says all these things.
Abracadabra means adabra. What is it? Adabra, cadabra. What is it?
Really, abracadabra is an incantation. You have to write it out.
Adabra, cadabra. What is the Rosh Hashanah? It's adabra. I will speak.
Adabra. You had to write it in a certain order, the letters, and then minimize, take away one letter, and add back the letter. There was a way to do it, and it really worked. It was a real incantation. It's not a joke. Phrase.
So the word, the
magic.
The word. There are two words. Rosh. There are two words. The word. Aha. The Oitzer Yisrael. Okay, there are two words. There's a word called aha. Last week when we read the kines, the word aha appeared every so often. Aha means an expression of grief. Person lets out a sigh of grief. Aha, woe. How can I deal with this situation? The opposite of aha is the word we have in front of us, he'och, which is an expression of joy. Like what we would say, hooray, okay? We would say, whatever, that's not what we would say, but it's an expression that a person gives out, congratulations, mazel tov, you've accomplished this great feat. That's the word that was used to congratulate one soldier, would congratulate the other soldier, one person would congratulate himself with the word he'och. So b'day shofar, this sound, you have to read the pasuk backwards, this congratulations, the self-congratulatory expression was accompanied with an abundance of shofars. He'och, yoimar he'och, read the pasuk backwards. Yoimar he'och, people would say he'och when it was accompanied with b'day shofar, with an abundant trumpet sound. Another feature of the horse, that from a great distance it can smell war. Ram sarim usurua, it can hear the thunder of the princes usurua and their shouting. A horse can smell at a great distance where the battlefield is. A human being doesn't have that sense. It's limited in picking up where the war is taking place, but a horse has this inborn sense of smelling a distance of where war is, and with that's where the horse will take itself to engage and participate in the battle and listen to the delicious sound of people saying to themselves he'och with the sound of the shofar. Mitzudos pasik chafhei b'day shofar. Now what does this mean? V'ot Afilu yoimar he'och v'yismach be'es yishma har be'sofer, and it even says he'och. Now I'm not exactly sure what this means. That I think he's going back on the pachad. Even though the horse, it sees the weapons and it sees these terrifying sights, it's not afraid. It takes delight. Not only does it take delight, it even says congratulations. It even in its own vocabulary, whatever the vocabulary equivalent to the word he'och, ve'oyra filu yoimar he'och, it says he'och v'yismach be'es yishma har be'shofer. It takes delight when it hears the sound of many shofers. Umirachoik. One of the unique features, the characteristics of a horse is that from a distance he already can sense, he can smell the battlefield. From a distance, it can sense a battle is taking place. It can hear the commotion of the Sari Hachayil, the officers of the army, the Hamoyas Truma, and the shouts of the Truma, the loud trumpets, the sounds of the Truma. Ad Yavinu Anshehat before the people of the army can pick this up. There's the sense of the horse is greater than the senses of the soldiers. This sense, this awareness where the war is about to take place comes before Yavinu Anshe Hatzava Mitnuas Sasus Asher Chayil Ba'aleihem. From the Tnuas, all of this comes from the Tnuas, the movements of the horse which the soldiers are upon them. The horse already picks up, there's a war taking place before the soldiers who are upon them recognize and realize that this is happening. Now Rashi says Bidei Shofer. What's the word Bidei? Bidei means with an abundance. Lashon Dai Hoshev Lo, to give back a lot. Baharbe Shofer, in this context, it means an abundance. Yoimar He'och, what's the word He'och? Lashon Sha'imrim Kishehein Semechim. It's an expression that is said when a person is in joy, Kemo Sha'imrim Aha Machmas Tsar. It's the counterpart to Tsar. The Aha is the word of a person says when he's in pain. Aha is the word a person says when he is in a state of joy. So the horses, they when they hear either the other soldiers saying he'och and blowing shofars, or they themselves have some type of expression, it gives them incredible joy. Okay, so that concludes pretty much the story of the horses. Now we come to the last theme of this parak. And it's the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first speech the second speech to Iyov, where Hashem now says, HaMibinoscha Ya'aver Neitz. Iyov, is it from your understanding that a Neitz, it extends its wings? Does the Yifros Kenofov L'Seimon, that it spreads out its wings to Taimon? So on a very simple level, when the Neitz refers to a bird. There's a bird called the Neitz. Anyone know what the bird is? I'm not sure what the bird is. And Hashem is just telling Eve that I put into this bird. And
here it says hawk.
Hawk, okay.
Yeah, hawk.
Okay, let's see the Mesudas. Now there's going to be a lot of Midrash. I just want to warn you. Rashi is going to Darsh and this entire thing in reference to the Shechina. The Neitz, the hawk, and all the different types of birds that we're going to mention, the Efreichav, all allude to the Shechina. The Shechina rests upon the Aron in the form of the Kruvim. The Kruvim, to some degree, look like birds. Correct? They look like Kravya. Kravya, the wings, right? The face of the Kruvim, either the face of a child or the face of an Ish, the Isha, the Chlegs in the Gemara, but attached to these bodies are wings, which give these creatures the tsura of a bird, or specifically of a neitz. And that represents the Shechina. And in this pasuk, these following psukim, Hashem is saying Tiv, or the Gemara is darshening, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his Shechina when he wants and removes his Shechina at will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in Hashkacha in this world. Hashkacha is intensified with the intensity of the Shechina being present upon this world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he intensifies his presence. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, he withdraws his Shechina, which means he increases a degree of Hester upon him. And the Midrashim, Darshan is specifically in reference to Aaron HaKohen. When Aaron went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, he was in great Sakana, because the intensity of the Shechina that was present, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, would kill a human being. A human being would not be able to survive, just like we find that Nadav Avihu died when they entered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How is it then that the Kohen Gadol is able to survive the Kedusha when he enters in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Medrash basically says something very shocking, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu leaves, he withdraws some of the Kedusha. That's not the way I think the average person thinks of it. I think the average person thinks that the Shekhinah is there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in its full intensity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just protects the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person superhuman koach to survive this experience. But the Medrash, or at least one Medrash, says that's not what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, when the Aaron enters Kodesh HaKadoshim, he withdraws the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah temporarily is removed so that a person can actually come in and sprinkle the dam, hapar, the dam hasoyer, and offer the ketores in front of the Aaron, which gives us a whole different look at what exactly is happening on Yom Kippurim. When we come to Yom Kippurim, we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind, he leaves before we come inside, so he can offer the dam and the ketores, and then we leave, and the Shekhinah comes back to accept the par, dam hapar, and the dam hasoyer, and the ketores. It's a whole different look at what happens on Yom Kippurim. And this is exactly what we're going to read into these psukim in a few moments. But first we have to understand the psukim according to its symbol, the thing that's according to the Mesudos, that we're dealing with just regular birds, the bird called the Nates, which exhibits certain unique characteristics. It has an inborn ability to know that it should migrate to the south in the winter, so it should not get, it should, in the winter or the summer, not exactly, different seasons of the year, it should migrate different locations of where it's optimal for it to survive. Who is the one that put this koyach into the birds? It's only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today there's so many studies that are going on to understand birds, the bird, the pattern of how they fly, how they migrate, where they, and they track them with GPS devices. It's incredible chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yev, who is the one that invented this chachma? It is I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here he says in Pasuk Chavav, HaMibi Nasicha, is it due to your wisdom that Ya'aver Nates, that the Nates, it spreads its wings? Now the Pasuk repeats itself. It's poetic repetition. Yifros Kinafav L'Seiman, is it due to your wisdom that the Nates, it spreads its wings to the south, it migrates to the south at certain times of the year in order to survive? Let's see Mitzudas Pasuk Chavav. Is it due to the wisdom that comes from you, Yo'of HaNates, that the Nates knows how to fly? The Mitzudas appears to translate the word Yavar means to fly. The Nates knows how to fly. The Yifros Kenof of La'uf Lefas Hadarom, that it knows to spread its wings towards the south, Kisham Yecham Lo, because that's where it will find warmth, Bizman HaKhurv, in the winter. It cannot survive the other regions in the winter. It's too cold. It has to go to the south in order to survive. Pasig Rosi Rashi. Now Rashi right away is going to start darshaning over here the Midrash. Let's see right away. Yavar Nates. Is it due to your wisdom that the Mitzvah says that the Nates flies? Rashi says it doesn't mean to fly, it means Yigadel HaNates, it means to grow. Is it due to your wisdom that the Nates' wings grow? Yigadel HaNates Kanaf. Now what is this? Umalachu. This is a malach. The Nates is an angel. Doime L'dmus Nates. It is Doime to the image of a Nates. This malach looks like a creature called the hawk. Yes. This is the Medrash. The Medrash appears in Vayikra Rabba, Parsha Chof, in the Parshas Achrimos. Parsha Achrimos, it describes all of these things. To the Mos Nates, Umamid Koyshi Haruach. And what does this Malach do? It holds back the harshness of Koyshi Haruach Duroimis, the Prishas Kenofov Shletachre Vesa'olam. It holds back global warming. Okay, that's what it says. The southern wind is from the heat. It holds back the heat from the south with its wings so that the world is not destroyed. Do you have the wisdom to protect the world from global warming? What?
It's the end of Paragimel and Gittin. It's a whole series of wind. What causes blow this way? Mitigating the west with the east.
We had it not so long ago. We had it last week. We had it last week in the Psukim. So here it's telling us that there's a malach called the Nates, whose wings expand, and they're spread to hold back the wool from drying up through to intense heat. Now, there's something very interesting here in this Rashi, which answers a question that bothered me very much. I once saw an idea. I'll tell you the whole story. Okay, the story I saw is Yaakov Avinu, when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, to Basel. So the Medrash says the Medrash says that there was a sulam. Yaakov had a dream. Pasuk says, "V'hinei chaloyim, v'hinei malachi elokim oilim v'yardim bo." The angels were going up and going down. Because I'll tell you the whole story. There was once a person who was nifter, and he left over ksavim. He left over chidushei Torah, and the child of the nifter brought the ksavim to a gadol, to a very good, doesn't say who the gadol was. Maybe it does say in the story the Gadol was, and he asked the Gadol, "Should I print my father's Chidushei Torah?" So he said to him, let me see the Chidushei Torah. Opened up to the pasuk of V'hinei chaloyim, V'hinei malach elokim olim v'yardim bo, and this person, who was a balabas, he wasn't known to be a big Talmud Chacham, but he was a chashuv person, and he said, "Why is it that the malachim are going up and down the ladder? Don't we know that malachim have wings? And if they have wings, they're able to fly. If they're able to fly, they can fly from the ground to Shemayim, from the Shemayim down to the ground. Why do the Malachim need to climb up and down the ladder?" So he said, because they were baby Malachim. And a baby Malach doesn't yet have wings. So it has to go up and down the ladder. It can't yet fly. So the Gadol said, "Don't print. Don't print this type of Chiddush. This doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right. It's not Roy Lutfus." Okay, I was very disturbed when I read this story, because I once came across a sefer, a very choshva sefer, which actually gave this answer. This is a sefer that was printed with the choshva askamas, and it could be even in the medrash. I don't remember the details. So it was very disturbing. Why would someone say not to? I don't know. No, I don't. I have no idea. It just bothered me very much. Why would someone say? It's not for me to question. Why would someone say not to publish a sefer because he doesn't like the chiddush? When I later found that other people talk to say this chiddush, it's a very big chiddush. And when I learned this Rashi, it struck me. Rashi, what does it mean here in the pasuk Yaver Nates? The Mitzuda says it means to fly. To fly when the nates, who is the one? Is the Hamibi Nascha? Ya'aver nates. Is it due to your wisdom that the nates flies? Is it due to your wisdom that the nates, it migrates to the south in the winter? That's how the Mitzudos translates. Rashi disagrees. Rashi means Ya'aver nates means Yigadel. It grows. So Rashi seems, I have to look in the Medrash to see the sources for the, but Rashi seems to say that the Yigadel grows, which means it starts out, it doesn't have wings, and over time, it grows wings. We don't know what happens with angels.
Doesn't mean Olympia or Olympia, doesn't mean you were walking with their feet.
Okay, obviously there are many more.
Fashion because where the ladder was.
Okay, there are many midrashim, the four rungs of the ladder. There are a million midrashim to explain the depth of the ladder. There are many different, but over here you do see in Rashi. Rashi says the word yigadel hanetz. We don't even know how people function, how people grow and operate. Certainly, we don't know anything about angels. But it's a very interesting expression, yigadel hanetz konof, that the nates, Rashi clearly says, the nates is a malach, and the nates goes through a process where its wings grow. It's not born, it was not created with mature wings. It has to grow over time. So you do see a support to such a concept that there is a difference between a baby malach and an adult malach, that a baby malach does not yet have wings, and an adult malach has wings. It's not so far-fetched. There is seemingly over here something to it, at least if you take the Rashi very literally. Yigadel hanetz konof. What is the nates? The nates is umalachu. Doimel ledmus nates. It's similar to the physical bird, the bird that we are familiar with, the hawk, whatever bird this is. Umamid, and what does this bird do? Umamid koyshe haruach droimitz, it withholds the harshness of the southern wind, befrishus kenofa, by spreading its wings, shalot tachur ves oilam. Okay, next pasuk of Zayin. Im al picha yagbiah neshuat. I don't know. Maybe it did. I don't know. But it was just, you should never say to someone that your Dvar Torah is nonsense. You never know. It might not be nonsense. You should never discourage a person from Mechadesh Chedesh Torah. You never know. Im al picha yagbiya nosher. Next question is, Hashem says to Iyof, "If is it through your command that the nosher?" Here we come in contact with a new bird. We first had in the previous pasuk the nates. Now we're coming in contact with a new bird called the nosher. What is the nosher? Is it the eagle? Yeah. Namastaver. Because the eagle, Chazal say, is a non-kosher bird. And non-kosher, then the Gemara says the Nosher has all four simonim. I don't remember all the details, but according to the way that the Gemara describes the Nosher, Masechta Chul does not fit with the bald eagle.
From Pressworsky, he says Nosher is not an eagle.
Cannot be an eagle. It's impossible. Cannot be an eagle. So, okay. It's loosely translated as a Nosher. It's another bird. Oshel does say eagle. Oshel, they say eagle. They do write eagle.
It says eagle.
Yeah, they write. They translate it as eagle. Okay, this is something. It can't possibly be an eagle. It's a mythical bird. Whatever it is. Okay, but here we have a second bird. Hashem said, I'm going to finish up the parak. Hashem says to him, "Im al picha yagbia nosher, is it through your command that the nosher raises its wings? V'chi yarim kino, is it through your command that it lifts up its nest?" Mitzudos pasuch of Zayin. Im al picha v'chi al yidei ma'amarecha yagbia hanesher l'uf hashamayim, is it through your command that the nosher, it flies to shamayim? Yoisim shokol oifas, more than all the birds. V'chi al yidei ma'amarecha yarim meduro y'lamala minakol, is it through your command that it raises up its abode? Chazal are telling us here that the pasuk is telling us here that the nesher, it puts its nest in the highest location. The nesher, its nest is above all other nests. In order, I guess, other birds should not come and attack and take away its eggs. It puts its modar, its abode, lemalam and akol, above all other creatures. Rashi tells us that's the medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us al kanfei nesharim. What does it mean al kanfei nesharim? The nesher's derech is the nesher flies above all of the birds, so it's not afraid. All of the birds carry their children below, but a nesher is afraid to carry it below because a person may shoot an arrow. So it takes the child and puts the child on top of itself, on the wings. Kinesher yoyer kino, carries it on its wings. V'chi yodim kino, okay, mitzudos again one more time, chav zayin. V'chi al yidei mamrech, we did it already, okay, Rashi, pasuk chav zayin. Im al picha yagbia nesher. Okay, here again Rashi is going back to the Medrash. Hashchina. Okay, the nesher is a code for the shchina. Shenemar. Kinesher yoir kinoi. In Parshas Hazinu, like a nesher awakes its nest, the shechina is resting upon Klal Yisrael. Hoya mesalik pamal yishalo, the shechina would remove its host, its collection of angels. Shalo yaziku laaron, so Aaron should not be harmed. Bivo'o el HaKodesh b'yom HaKippur. An amazing Chazal. When Aaron comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as a Hakdama, the Shechina departs. You had this idea in the Daf Yomi on Shabbos, right? On Daf Yomi, the Gemara talks about the Kanishna, the Shof Yosef ben Ahardah. There was a Beis HaKnesses that was built from the stones and ashes of the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim. And in this Beis HaKnesses, the Shechina was present. And the Gemara there mentions that when the Shechina would come, people would leave because
except for Rav
Sheshet. Oh, because he was a cripple, right? He was
blind.
He was blind, so he couldn't move. And he said, "It's not fair, Hashem. You leave, not me.
Right.
You leave because I'm a cripple. I can't see. I'm an olive. I'm a nebuch." But the Gemara actually says this idea that there was a Beis HaKnesses and they would come and daven. But when the Shechina would come, the people would have to leave because they couldn't handle. They couldn't handle the intensity of the Shechina. So the exact same concept is being presented here with regard to Aaron. Aaron, when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadosh Yom Kippurim, cannot handle the intensity of the Shechina. How then will he be able to do the Avodah? To sprinkle the Dama Par, the Dama Torah, Dama Sur, to bring the Ketores? The answer is the Shechina accommodated Aaron by temporarily departing in order that he can do the Avodah. So Hashem says, or the Medrash says more precisely, was it Aaron's command? Was it Aaron, when he's about to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Aaron would say, Shechina, leave? That's not Derech Eretz. Hashem observed Aaron entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Hashem on his own removed the Shechina to accommodate Aaron as he entered. Is it from your command? It's not your command. I'll read you the words of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Rabbi Yudan Galia Posach. Rabbi Yudan was the name of the Satana. Im al picha yagbia nosher. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aron. Hashem here is speaking to Aaron HaKohen. Al meimor pumach. Is it due to your command? Hayisi Masha Shchinasi al gabi ha'aron. Is it due to your command that the Shechina came down to rest upon the Aron? O al meimar puma chayisi misalek Shechinasi mi'al gabi Aron? Or is it due to your command that the Shechina is leaving the Aron? It's not your command. I will accommodate your entry and exit. When you come, I will leave. When you leave, I will come. In order that not that you should not be harmed. That is how the Rashi interprets this pasuk. Okay, next was pasuk chavches. Sela yishkoin v'yisloinon. Al shen sela umitzuda. This creature called the nesher, it rests upon a rock. A sela is a rock. Yishkon, it rests. V'yislanon, and it lodges. Two different expressions. Yishkon means more of a temporary dwelling, and v'yislanon is a more permanent type of dwelling. And then it repeats. Al shen sela umitzuda. It rests upon the cleft of a rock and a fortress. Pasuk of Ches in the Mitzudah Stavid. Sela yishkon shochin hu al sela. Al-Sela Horim. This Nesher, it lives upon the rock that is found upon the highest mountain. V'shamdir Yisloinon. L'kerach Balayla. That's where it lodges at night to protect itself from the intense cold. The Af Ki Berum Harbe Tishloi Teruach. Even though at this great height there is a lot of wind, the higher you go, the more intense the winds are. It does not cause it harm. Al Shein, Shechin Hu Al Chadude Hasela. This Nesher, it lives upon the cleft of the rock. Haboilate, which protrudes, Kishain, like a tooth. Sharp rocks look like teeth coming out of a person. Av Yishkoin Mitsuda. This creature also lives upon a fortress. Hu Haziz, what is a Mitsuda? It's another expression, it's a Ziz, it's some type of protrusion. Hayotze Mimigdal Hagoroa, which comes out of a tall tower. Fukaf al ingin b'mila shonis, repetition, particle repetition. This is where the creature it rests. There is no. There is Rashi. Pasuk chavches. Sela yishkan.
Yeah. Translates
nesher
as vulture.
A vulture.
That's
okay.
Translate. I mean.
Okay. Let's see the Rambam's Rashi. Sela yishkan yislanan. Batua chaya aron be machta saketores kishe. Kishenosna al Evan Shasia. So according to the Medrash refers to the Evan Shasia. The Evan Shasia jutted up right in front of the Oroin. Okay, and when Aaron he went into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he sprinkled the blood was spilled on the Evan HaShasia, and the Ketores was put on the Evan Shasia, and that's what this pasuk alludes to, the Sela Yishkon V'Yislanon al Shen Sela Umitzuda. These are the rocks which Aaron would put the Ketores. Okay.
The Evan Shasia was in the Midbar?
No.
Tuach Aharon.
Oh, so you're right. This refers to Aaron, it means the Kohen Gadol. Whoever was the Kohen Gadol had the status of Aaron HaKohen. He had the title of Aaron HaKohen. Okay, we'll stop here.